The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's gospel brings us a challenging Jesus. He doesn't sound anything like the Jesus who says, Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. If this is how we think of Jesus, today's reading is a shock. I came to cast fire on the earth, he says, and would that it were already kindled. Do you think that I have come to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. What are we to make of this? Perhaps initially it's important to realize that this is one and the same Jesus. If we don't recognize him in today's reading, it's because we haven't been listening closely enough. Jesus is kind and gentle, but he's not only kind and gentle. He is also holy and righteous, the one who in the end will say not just, Come, you who are blessed of my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, but also, Depart from me, you who are cursed into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The Lord Jesus is compassionate and gracious. He did not come into the world to condemn the world. And yet, he will not leave the guilty unpunished. With the recent news stories of fires out west, each week seemingly bringing with it a new record wildfire, the fearsomeness of Jesus' words, I came to cast fire on the earth, is particularly clear. We don't have to imagine the sort of destruction fire can bring. The images are fresh in our minds. Yet as we consider Jesus' words, we should note that in the scripture, as in forests, fire is not only a destructive force. Some trees and other plants only release their seeds after a fire has come through. For all its destructive power, fire also brings the possibility of new life. So also in the scriptures, fire often denotes punishment and utter destruction. Yet the scriptures also speak of the refiner's fire, fire used to remove impurities from a precious metal, fire which can show the genuineness of that precious metal. Jesus casting a fire on the earth brings not only destruction, it also results in purifying his people. in showing the genuineness of their faith as it is tested by fire, in strengthening their trust in him by stripping away all the false gods in which they have trusted. That fire is not a comfortable thing. It's not something that you or I would wish for or welcome. Nevertheless, it is a blessed thing. God working to cleanse our lives from impurity and to refine our hopes so that they can look forward not to our own desires, but rather to his glorious promises. But Jesus speaks of more than fire. He also speaks of water, baptism, a word which in Greek, with its most general meaning, had to do with nothing more than washing anything with water. Much of the time we are less fearful of water than of fire. After all, water is a requirement for human life. And we not only drink it, we use it to wash and keep our lawns green and our plants and gardens alive and growing. Recent news from eastern Kentucky, though, with rains that caused flash flooding, ending lives, damaging homes, and destroying property, brings the destructive force of water also clearly to view. I have a baptism to be baptized with, Jesus said. And how great is my distress until it is accomplished. John had already long since baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. That's not what Jesus was talking about here. No, the baptism of which he speaks is the baptism of his cross, the baptism of God's wrath against the world's sin, the baptism of death and hell. It's understandable that Jesus would be distressed about this baptism. We see his distress in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prays, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And his sweat would become like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. But distress is perhaps not the best translation of the word Jesus uses here. The word can also mean totally focused on, intensely driven by, or totally governed by. And this meaning perhaps better fits Jesus' meaning. Earlier in his gospel, Luke had recorded that Jesus had set his face to go to Jerusalem. He was totally focused on the baptism of his death, intensely driven to see it accomplished. Everything he said and did was totally governed by his determination to win your salvation, to pay for your sin, to save you from death and hell. That's what we heard from Hebrews earlier. For the joy that was set before him, the joy of winning your salvation, the joy of having you live with him in heaven, in eternal righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. For this joy, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, and now is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. I have a baptism to be baptized with, Jesus said. And that baptism was his focus every moment of every day, every action, every word, every thought. Because that baptism is what he had taken on flesh to accomplish, in order that you might have salvation. Jesus' consuming passion was rescuing you from your sin and the punishment you had earned by it. and nothing would keep him from accomplishing that. Jesus did undergo that baptism. He bore your sin. He died your death. He won forgiveness and salvation for you. But besides the glorious result of your salvation, there's also another result: division. Those who rejoice in his salvation and those who are offended by him, by his claim that they needed saving, by his claim that they are damned without him. It's this division that we heard playing out in the reading from Jeremiah earlier. The word of the Lord versus the dreams of men. Wheat versus straw. What would be gathered into the barn versus what would be burned with unquenchable fire. The Lord's word has power. His promises are never empty, and his warnings are ignored only at great peril. It's that division, the resultant fiery testing, that our text from Hebrews addresses. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, we read, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. They will see the fulfillment of all of God's promises the very same day that you do. On the day when there is no more death or mourning or crying or pain, the day when the Lord makes all things new. In the meanwhile, God has surrounded us with innumerable multitude of the faithful, the great cloud of witnesses who testify, who witness to God's faithfulness and by the testimony of their lives, urge us to lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely and run with endurance the race set before us. Ahead of us is Jesus, seated at the right hand of the throne of God, who for the joy that was set before him, the joy of your salvation, endured the cross, despising the shame. The Lord strengthen and sustain you to follow him in faith through every testing and sorrow, until he calls you home in Jesus Christ, your Savior. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.